Amen. Today is a different day, so we're just going to wait and just flow with the Lord. Amen. Just be open. Just be open. Just be open. I want to read something to you, and I want to tell you why. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, Daniel 9, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books, by the word of the Lord, the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God. I don't have the full comprehension of what I'm about to tell you. I don't have the whole picture. On the 1st of May, something happened here at midnight prayer. I've been processing it for quite a while. And then, last night I was waiting on the Lord in prayer. I know, knowing today is Pentecost Sunday, and after much time of waiting on the Lord, I fell asleep. And the Lord showed me something in a dream. Hallelujah. But before this, I didn't write this part down, but I think it's yesterday or 2 days ago. I also had a visitation in a dream. Actually, it was after the all-night prayer, the breakthrough night. After the breakthrough night, I went to bed and I had that dream. And I was asking, what does this mean? I couldn't get the understanding. And then on this Pentecost day, I started receiving some understanding. But what the Lord is going to lead us to do this morning is going to be out of obedience. But before we go into it, because I want to share with you scriptures to help us enter where we're going today. We have had a lot of experiences, different years on Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles, different year. But this scripture I read to you in Daniel chapter 9, it says that Daniel received a revelation based on a scripture and a promise from the book of Jeremiah about the destiny of Israel. And when he received it, he obeyed the Lord and did a very special covenant prayer. And he turned, that prayer released the prophetic word of the Lord and shifted nations. Everything shifted. And something started happening that released the destiny of Israel, according to the prophecy of Jeremiah. And a lot of things started happening. I share that scripture to let you know that when you pray into or obey God in a revelation that He gives to you clearly, you will see the results and the fruit in a very special way. So the part, before we go deep into this, the part I'm saying I don't know the full picture is this. I don't know what will happen after today. I don't know where God is going and what He's going to be doing. But I know one thing for sure. From everything I've told you so far. And God spoke to me in a very vivid way here as we're worshiping God. Undeniable way. This day, this Pentecost, it's not another Pentecost. I wasn't expecting this. Because we go through Pentecost seasons and God shows us things. Actually blocked my mind away because I didn't want to make this one of those Pentecosts. But today, from this day, something has shifted. The whole world, the church, the world is going to enter into a new season, a prophetic new day. It's not like it's not already begun, but something in heaven is being released on this Pentecost Sunday to move things and to shift the plan and the purposes of God in the earth, especially in regards to the destiny of the church. We can talk about the church, we can talk about the world, Let's leave all that. But from this day, this very day, by the grace of God, Mount Zion is being remembered in a special way. This fellowship, this house of worship that you belong to, has been remembered. You have prayed, you have waited, you have served God. And of course, we've seen blessings here and there, we've seen things here and there. But today, the church has been remembered. Mount Zion has been remembered. Actually, if you like to personalize it, let it be unto you according to your faith. I want you to say, this day I have been remembered by God. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. You are still the same. When we least expect, you are still the God, the suddenness. You've done it again. And we say, let it be unto us, even as you have revealed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for remembering us. Thank you for remembering your covenant. Thank you for remembering your promises. Thank you. You are faithful. No man waits on you in vain. You keep records and you remember. And you have remembered us. And for this, we are grateful. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Receive all the glory. Receive all the praise. For whatever you begin to do in our lives and what you continue to do, let your name be glorified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. I had to write a few things down. To help me stay focused. What the Lord is leading us this morning. Is for you personally. Is for you to stand. For your family. It's for you, your ministry, your calling, your destiny. It's for the city where we live. It's for the nation and the nations of the earth. It's for the church. If God used Daniel to do it, thousands of years ago, is still that same God who honors the obedience of his people. I asked the Lord as before he spoke to me this morning. This was before the confirmation this morning. I said, this is a very strange word. But he said, obedience is all that I need. And then he gave me a little understanding. So, you've heard about the story in the Bible about, you know, Jacob redigging the wells that was closed by the Philistines. Isaac did the same. You know, they were redigging those wells because the Philistines closed them. Because the Philistines closed them. The wells were closed. Also, you've read when God called Gideon, and the children of Israel were going through so much attack by the Amalekites and the people surrounding them and stealing from them and robbing them and so many things happening. Amen. And during that time, God called Gideon. And he told Gideon, mighty man of valor. And then he started preparing Gideon for what he's going to do. But before he did that, he told Gideon to do something. He says, go and destroy the altars of your fathers. And then build an altar on those altars they've created. Amen? That's good enough. Thank you. Amen. So Gideon went, destroyed that altar, and then built an altar for God on that same place. Before Israel started seeing unprecedented victory and restoration began. In this dream I heard that led to this message, this word, I was disturbed about what I saw and trying to understand the depths of it. And the Lord showed to me, there are certain things, if they are not done, heaven looks like it's closed over a generation, over a people. So, I'm just preparing your mind because it's a very deep direction we're going. How many of you remember the story of a man called Naboth in the days of Ahab? Okay, for those of you that don't know, just really quickly, there's a man called Ahab, a very wicked king. He wanted the land that belongs to another man. He wanted the field that belongs to this man called Naboth. He went to him and said, I want your field. And this is a very rich king. He has everything going for him. But the little thing that this man has, he wants it. The man said no. So he cried back to a woman called Jezebel, who was then the mother of witchcraft over Israel. And Jezebel said, why are you crying? I will get that land for you. So I want you to listen to this, because that will save us a lot of script. We're going to read a lot of scriptures, because today your life will never be the same again. And your generations of families, your obedience today will turn things around for your family. Today is Pentecost. And God is about to do a new thing. Jezebel told Ahab, I'll get the land for you, just don't worry. And Jezebel plotted with some men and set up Naboth. When he set up Naboth, Naboth fell into that trap and they killed him. And Jezebel took that field and gave it to Ahab. That's the best way I can describe the dream to you. Because I don't want to describe it the way I saw it and understood. But this description is the description of this dream. But it's a message. And the Lord started revealing a lot to me. Hallelujah. Please be patient with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Today, God wants to break the power we have given to Satan over the church. Today, God wants to deliver us. Break the curse that we have inherited for many generations. C-U-R-S-E, the curse. So, we want to look at a few scriptures, because that's why it took me a while. First, and I think the people on the media will help me with this also. I want us to open to the book of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Today is a day of victory for every one of us. Please, if you are here today on this day of Pentecost, know that this is a different day, and if you remember this day, so don't put time, because I don't know where God is going. I don't know how long we're going to be here. But you have gone through so much, and this is your victory day. It's a new day for every one of us. Exodus 20. There's something that God told Moses on the mountain here that many people have used in many ways. I never tried to go there, but God showed me something. Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6. It says, Thou shalt not bow down. Anyway, let's read from 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God. Listen to this. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. The good news in verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. A lot of people have misused this. About generational curses. Curses, C-U-R-S-E. The Lord showed me, and this is the message this morning, this is where our breakthrough is coming. This is where this day of Pentecost will mark the beginning of a shift in the whole world and this house. He said, there are certain sins, S-I-N-S, certain evil, wickedness that Satan has used as an accusation against the church, against man, because we don't know it ignorantly. And because of this accusation, we are going to see all this in the scriptures. Certain blessings, certain breakthroughs has been suspended, hijacked because of this. And instead of that breakthrough and that blessing, we'll be subject to what the Bible called a curse. C-U-R-S-E. In other words, you can't place, you can't understand how you've been faithful, you pray, you do things, you do, but it's almost like, what is holding my breakthrough, my blessing? What is holding the church? What is holding miracles? What is holding heaven? 2 Chronicles 7, you all know the scripture, 13, said, when heaven is shut, when pestilence and all these things come, if my people, verse 14, Rakoba, will humble themselves. And he said, then I will, you know, and then. My brothers, on a personal level, we repent, we pray, and God forgives us and we move on. But yeah, what we're dealing with this morning, on this day of Pentecost, there are iniquities and stains that has held and been held against a full-blown move of God because of iniquity. And instead, it's almost like we're experiencing a curse in place of blessing. So the Lord showed me in this dream, and I read to you about, it says, on this day, we are going to address before him the depths, the width, the height of the sin of the shedding of innocent blood. Please don't get me wrong. People repent of this all the time. People do all kinds of things. But I read Daniel 9 to you. This is a prophetic action that is about to unleash breakthroughs. The Lord showed me the shedding of innocent blood. And the reason that is key, he says, blood has a voice. So, let's first of all look at this. Why the curse goes from up to third and fourth generations can hinder, hold up innocent people down the road wondering what's going on. And they look back and find out it was because of innocent blood shed by older generations that has not been dealt with spiritually and in the manner it should be done. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. I want you to see this. Read from verse 10 to 13. Deuteronomy 19, 10 to 13. It says, it's talking about the city of refuge. Verse 19:10 says, that innocent blood be not shed in thy land. That innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. And so blood be upon thee. Verse 11. But if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait, in other words, like Ahab and Jezebel did, lie in wait for him, and rise up against him and smite him, meaning kill him mortally, that he die, and fleeth into one of these three cities. That is, you run to the city of refuge. Remember, city of refuge is a place of protection. It's a kind of a church. It's a kind of a place of salvation. But the sin of innocent blood cannot protect you even in this condition. We'll look at it. Verse 12. Then in that refuge, it says, then the elders of this city shall send and fetch him, this man that shed innocent blood, fetch him thence and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood. Deliver him into the avenger of blood. That he may die. Look at God's emphasis on this. Thy eyes shall not pity him, but thou shalt put him away. For what reason? Put him away so that the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it might go well with you. In other words, it says, when you do this and don't spare the one who shed innocent blood, he says, you will put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel. You will put away, you will remove the accusation of innocent blood from Israel because you've pacified the wrath of the avenger. Okay? So this is just one area of the cost or the accusation that comes upon the shedding of innocent blood on the land, on an individual. Now, I want us to open to the book of Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, we're going to read quickly here. Genesis chapter 4. Read from verse 8 to 12. You all remember this is about Cain offered a sacrifice and he was rejected, and Abel offered a sacrifice, was accepted, and Cain was not happy about it. And this is what happened after that. Genesis chapter 4 from verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. Every voice, every blood doesn't cry, but the voice of the blood of the innocent has a voice. The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. Now, really quickly, let's look at 2 Kings 21. 2 Kings 21. Let's look at an example of what happens when leaders share innocent blood. Second Kings 21. In those days there was a king in Judah, in Israel, called Manasseh. His name is Manasseh. He was a very, very vile king, wicked king. I just want to read verse 16 to you what he did. He did a lot of things, but for time and where we're going, let me just read to you one of the major things he did and the consequence for it. 2 Kings 21:16. Moreover, that is after listing all the things that he did. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of God. He shed innocent blood very much. Some of you say, what kind of innocent blood? How? What did he do? Among many ways he shed innocent blood, just like Herod, when he heard about Jesus, told them to kill children from the age of 2 down, just wipe them out. He shed innocent blood very much. One of the ways Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, I want to show it to you in the life of the children of Israel, what God said about the shedding of innocent blood. Let's look at Psalms 106. Let's open to Psalms 106. Psalms 106, verse 34 to 38. Look at another way innocent blood was shed. Psalms 106:34-38. He said, David was recounting the life of the children of Israel. He says, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but they were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. 36. and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yes, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, these altars. And they shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted because of blood. So you see some of the ways this happens. Now, let's open to 2 Kings 24 and you see the consequences, especially when leaders are involved in this. 2 Kings 24. 2 Kings 24. So you remember Manasseh, the Bible said he shed a lot of innocent blood, and the Psalms I read to you, Manasseh was notable for extreme witchcraft. He was deep in sorcery, he was deep in witchcraft. Amen. So in 2 Kings 24, verse 2 to 4, here is now what happened. Yes, decades, generations later, after Manasseh has died and gone. Remember Exodus 20, that the sins of the fathers can go to third and fourth generations. But thank God for the mercy that is about to reverse things today. You will understand this prophetic message very soon. And from this day, you'll be wondering what happened. What cleared the way. 2 Kings 24. Verse 2 to 4. It says, and the Lord, let me just read from verse 1 so you understand. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Joachim became his servant 3 years. That's one of the kings of Israel. Then he turned and rebelled against him. Verse 2. And the Lord sent against him, that's Joachim, bands of Chaldeans, Babylonians, and bands of Syrians, and bands of Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon. Can you see God allowing this level of attack on his people? On his people. Because of current and, but the main reason you see soon, because of the foundation of the sins of their fathers. And the Lord sent all this, allowed all this. And bands of this, bands of that, send them against Judah. To do what? To destroy it. According to the word of the Lord, which is spoke by his servants, the prophet. 3, verse 3. Surely, at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight. For the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did. Verse 4. And also for the innocent blood that Manasseh he shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord will not pardon. Here is generation past, and this king so laid the foundation of Israel with innocent blood, filled it with witchcraft, shed blood for power, for position, all this. And God now placed a curse because The shedding of innocent blood brings automatic curse on you, on a land, whether they know it or not. Places that curse, we read it. And then it says, the prophecy came through that this will be upon the generations to come. And now, here is this generation in days of Joachim, along the way, Judah king, though they now, because of the sin, so much has affected them and are now living in rebellion, apostasy, rebellion against God. They didn't know how this sin can get away. This iniquity can get away. They can't break out of it. And they became so rebellious. Now, the hour for God to judge them came. And the Bible says it was God who gave power to kings. And Nebuchadnezzar came, a wicked king from Babylon, and destroyed Israel to the ground, destroyed the temple, and took Israel captive. Such evil warfare. And all was because he said, because of the innocent blood, Manasseh filled Jerusalem with. And then other generations were suffering and they didn't know why. They can't come out. This can't happen. That can't happen. Amen? Now, I just shared with you from Genesis chapter 4 that not every blood receives the attention of heaven. But the blood of the innocent has a voice. And the voice cries. Revelation 15, there were some people in heaven saying, when are you going to avenge? When are you going? He says, of our blood, the martyrs. He says, until they finish that season of great tribulation. But where we're going now, at least you all understand the power of innocent blood. So my brothers and sisters, let's now open to Hebrews chapter 12 that we always read in this house. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So after I had a dream, I was wondering and trying to ask God, what is the purpose of this dream? Is it personal? What's going on? Hebrews chapter 12 came to me, and the one thing that I heard was, the blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. So let's read Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 22 to 24 that we normally read here. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, that's the throne room of God, the presence of God. I want you to see this. And unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, you have come to an innumerable company of angels. You've come to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. How did we get there? How did that door open? How did those people get there? Verse 24 says, we have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. We have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Why mediator? We have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of what? Abel. I want to, before we go back there, because that's where we are ending the scriptures now. I'm about to take some prophetic actions. Today, our lives will never be the same.
Amen.
You will pray and you wonder why the answers are coming quickly. Let's read something really quick. Revelation chapter 12, and then we'll go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 is the end of the chapters from Genesis to Revelation. And here God was revealing how spiritual world operates and how it affects the natural world. And exactly how Satan works. And how Satan is overcome. So Revelation chapter 12, you can read it just for time here. It says, and there was war in heaven from verse 7. You go through all that. Verse 9, and the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10, listen to this. And I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Listen, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. My brothers and sisters, we just read in Exodus, we read in Deuteronomy about you can run to the city of refuge. God ordained the city of refuge for protection from any sin, anything you do, run there, they will protect you. But it says, anyone that shares innocent blood is not even saved there. There is a curse upon the head of everyone that shares, and there's a curse on the land. If you remember when Cain, one of the curses upon Cain, it says, you will suffer. The ground will never obey you anymore. You will suffer. You become a vagabond to evil refruit. So there's a curse. We read all that. But here, Revelation says, because Satan knows this in the spirit about innocent blood, he said that one of the weapons of Satan over nations, over people, especially over God's people, is to bring accusation against them before the throne of God. What is accusation? It's a court thing for a plaintiff. Somebody that takes you to court before a judge and says, you are guilty of this sin. You are guilty of this thing. And your sentence is very clear because it has come out of your mouth, God. The wages of this sin, the consequences for this penalty. So he accuses, and God is bound by that. So all through generations, Satan causes people to shed innocent blood. And then when he causes them to do it, he knows that that will bring a curse upon their land, a curse upon the society, a curse upon the people, and then they will live in his bondage, in his darkness, and everything. And it blocks heaven from them. So here, it says, Satan accuses them day and night. Read the book of Job, you can see some of the things that transpire there. But Job was innocent. But here, the Bible says, verse 11, it says, and they overcame him by the what? The blood of the Lamb. And by the word of what? Their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto that. Say, rejoice. They overcame him. They had the victory by the blood of the Lamb. Why the blood of the Lamb? Why the blood of the Lamb? Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24 says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Just really quickly, Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God, isn't it? Is the innocent blood. Judas says, I have betrayed an innocent man. Innocent blood, pure from heaven, no sin in that blood. That's who Jesus is. And here we are from Adam, and from the sin of the shedding of innocent blood, and with Cain and all, here is innocent blood that cannot be pardoned. It's blood for blood. And especially the shedding of innocent blood. Consequence on the land. So here is the innocent blood. This is what Jesus did as a mediator before God. Jesus stepped from his innocency and put on the curse. It's a curse, you see, that hangs on a tree. Puts on the sin of shedding of innocent blood. Put on the every iniquity that comes with the shedding of blood. Amen? Amen. And the curse was put upon him. He was cursed for our iniquity. He was bruised. He put on the judgment, the consequences of the curse upon him, his flesh. And in our place, he now gave us his place. So that by his blood, we are now coming before God innocent. Amen? We are now coming before God. And the reason now is, he says, we overcome the accuser. Why? Because now Jesus has mediated our sin. He has stood in the gap, and he has now made peace with God through his blood for us, and has satisfied every accusation of the darkness against us. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, we understand the cross. We understand this simple. That's why we come to God, we confess. Once we are born again, he forgives us instantly. We are free. But why did this come? What does this mean? My brothers and sisters, there's a reason why there's so much sickness. There's a reason why the church is struggling with poverty. There's a reason why we struggle with so many things. Desires of our hearts. In this dream, this brief thing I share with you, because when we have the blood, if you sin, confess your sin, God forgives you. But it has to do with a generation, a nation, a people. The Lord showed me that the blood, innocent blood that have been shed for generations, that is after Christ came. Blood and blood. For example, he revealed to me what happened in Africa, because in the dream, Africa was part of it. What happened in Africa when they were selling their sons and daughters for money? He revealed to me the blood that was shed. Innocent blood. Then he showed me also, he was showing me Africa, the blood that was shed, sacrificing to devils for power, for authority, for money. And he showed me so much, and he was showing me why, especially, you know, some things that are happening in Nigeria right now. He showed me. And let me tell you why I'm saying this. You know, there was a time when God sent Joshua to war. And he defeated this great Jericho war. And there was a small country called Ai. And he went and tried to defeat Ai and lost miserably. And they said, what happened was, he said, because there's an accosting in your midst. The Bible is serious about sin. He said, because of your iniquity, your ears shut. But we're not talking about individual thing here. We're talking about a corporate thing God was revealing. And he says, on this Pentecost day was when the foundation of the church was laid. And today, he says, I want you, I'm going ahead of myself, to stand in the gap for every consequence of innocent blood has been shed to defile the foundations of the church. The Amalekites were destroying the children of Israel because the foundation of Israel, Gideon's father was the elder, and he built everything he's doing. He removed God and built Baal. And they were suffering and they didn't know why. Until the altar was destroyed and God's altar restored before victory can come to them again. The altar of the church and the promises of God was released upon the church on the day of Pentecost. It's a foundation. And the Lord was showing me in this dream that the devil has raised up accusation against this church. Against the church. In a corporate way. And against the world. And the only thing that can rectify this foundation is the blood of the Lamb. But it has to be done on this Pentecost day because it's the foundation of the bride of Christ. It's the foundation of the church. It's where the church was built from, has been accused. There are so many families that suffer so many things in the world until they get saved. And there are a lot of people that get saved, they have not broken certain things that trail their lives. But some have. So you don't go into that area because people start conjuring all kinds of things. But it's a reality. I have prayed for people whose generation, at the age of 17, it happened to every one of their children at the age of 17 up to until we break that thing. And God broke it. Why age of 17? From generation, there was something there and God broke it. And it's not one person, different people, a pattern. So what I'm talking, what the Lord showed, that's why I'm saying today will change everything. Amen. For us. Foundations are very important. So the Lord showed me different generations of the blood that have been shed in the name of the church through the crusaders. The blood, innocent blood. You see, there's a blessing. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, in Revelation chapter 8, it says the bowl is there that has not been released, because the things in that bowl are to be released for the generation for it. So is the sins of the fathers can be carried over. There are bloods that were shed. I won't go into too much. The blood that is shed through witchcraft is unprecedented all over the world. But it showed a lot to me about Nigeria especially. And this land where we are. It brought to my mind the blood that was shed through abortion. Then it showed me how the blood of people are sacrificed to war. Like what we're experiencing now in Ukraine. Over 300,000 young men slain, fighting for a land that their leaders want. Then it showed me religious bloodshed. I told you I would take a little time on this because it's our victory day. My life will never be the same. Your life will never be the same. And Manzan will never be the same. And the church will never be the same. You will see. That's why I said I don't have the whole picture, but watch and see going forward from this day the changes that will come to your life. Amen. There are battles you face, it will be easier for you to overcome. Amen. You will know something has been broken on the foundation of the church. Amen. On Pentecost Sunday. He showed me the blood that Islam has shed. Innocent blood. Especially the blood of Christians. He showed Islam has shed blood where sometimes they are running like river. This blood, they have a voice. And they are crying for vengeance. He showed me the blood that is shed through unjust gain. Just like the Ahab did with, Jezebel did with Naboth. And that's part of what I saw in the dream. People killing people unjustly for power, for gains. I can't imagine the blood that has been shed for what is going on now in Nigeria. Innocent blood. And so on and so forth. And the Lord said, the voice of innocent blood has been used as a weapon of accusation. And that's why we are not seeing a lot of things happen in the church. Because the Holy Ghost is not limited. My hands are not limited. He says, on this Pentecost Sunday, you have to rebuild the foundation through repentance of the church. Through communion. Jesus is the only mediator. He has finished it, and today we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. If my people who are called by my name is a popular quoted thing, but today God says it's different because now we're going to take communion on Pentecost Sunday. And we're going to ask the Lord. And exactly like Daniel did in Daniel chapter 9, they were in Babylon under captivity. They are suffering like we are now in the new Babylon. We are suffering. And Daniel started, you can read it later, and that's the conclusion of this. Daniel started using the covenant God made with Israel to remind God that the sins of his fathers has brought them here. And their sin and his own sin, because he's part of that lineage. And every consequence, he repented of it, and immediately there was a shift prophetically, and God remembered and started moving things forward. And Israel's prayers were answered. They started coming out of Babylon. God started blessing them. They started prospering, and then God started dealing with his enemies. So, my brothers and sisters, the communion we're about to take today is going to release the voice of the blood of the Lamb against the voice of the innocent. Because this blood speaks about mercy to the church to 1,000 generations. Amen? And it's going to break the curse that has been upon the church from generations up till now. And then God is going to honor his promises upon our lives, upon our destiny, going forward from today. Amen. If you have your communion, I want you to bring it out. If you don't understand what a curse is, C-U-R-S-E. There are things that fight against our breakthroughs that are not always necessarily the devil. It is because of things that have not been addressed in the spirit by the blood. Why will Israel not defeat Ai, a small Ai? It wasn't because they didn't have the power to. It was because something in the camp has not been dealt with. So today, we're going to be like Daniel. On this day of Pentecost, we're going to ask God to first forgive us personally of any contribution, any sin, any way. Like Daniel said, even me, my sin. Amen? And then we're going to repent of the sin of our fathers. Our fathers in two ways. The sin of our fathers of the church. Amen? My brothers, when I say our fathers, some of you don't realize how the church has become a Babylonian church now. I'll use the word Babylonian because you know what some churches are doing. There is witchcraft in the church. Babylon is in the church. Babylon means you can have everything you want, live the way you want, lose everything you want, have everything you want, but not God. Today is going to be broken. So we're going to repent of everything we have given power to the devil to rule in the church through the shedding of innocent blood. Amen. The Lord, by the way, I forgot. The Lord showed me a lot of blood was shed in this land through witchcraft by the Native Americans. And then if you look at this thing, it says Manasseh sinned and God brought people to judge them, isn't it? And then the Caucasians or different people from different other nations came and judged the Native Americans. Not because of just anything. It's always about land. They were killed. And then their blood was shed innocently. And then, after the ones that came shed blood, guess what? Then another group came again and shed American blood on this ground. And then the one that shed the blood when they came, after the revolution, now came another blood that was shed again upon the African Americans. So every generation is sharing innocent blood for the land. Blood is being shed as we're talking now in Ukraine because of land. And the Bible says he doesn't pardon that kind of blood except through the blood of the Lamb. So my brothers and sisters, I don't know what will start happening from today, but I know you're going to be start getting blessings. You're going to start seeing unusual breakthroughs. I also know this one thing. Your enemies are going to be judged. I'm talking spiritually. Because what we're doing now is a corporate deliverance from the shedding of innocent blood on the foundation of the day the church was born. Amen? If you go to the doctor's office, some of you know, even before the doctor sees you, you wait for an hour, isn't it? You don't mind. It's only in church we wait for 45 minutes and we want God to move quickly. You sit in the doctor's office for an hour and the doctor will come and send somebody for you to fill a form. You fill the form, you go into another room, you wait there again for them to come and take your blood. And after they finish, you wait and wait and wait, and we are patient. I just want you to be patient with God today. He has something big to do in our lives. Hallelujah. So, today, we are standing in the gap. You are standing in the gap. For you first, for your family, for your children, for your calling, and for everyone around you. And then together we are standing for the church, the body of Christ as a whole on this day. We're standing for Mount Zion. And then we're now standing for America. We're standing for the nations. And we're saying, God, if you mark and if you keep this sin, who will be saved? Amen. So you just begin to ask the Lord. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. He said this blood reaches up to the highest mountain, to the lowest valley. You are now a mediator by the blood of the Lamb. You are now standing in the gap using the blood of Jesus. You are the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. We acknowledge, O God, our sins before you. We acknowledge, Father, our wicked ways. We acknowledge our unbelief. Knowingly, unknowingly, we have come to ask for mercy, your forgiveness on this day. Father, our fathers covered the earth with innocent blood. Our lands are full of the cry of innocent blood before your presence. Father, we're overwhelmed with witchcraft and sorcery and the shedding of blood in war. Unjust gain, greed, pride. We have shed innocent blood. We fill the earth with blood, religious blood. Oh Father, the blood of the innocent is crying. We have no one to stand, no one to defend us. But I thank you for your promise in Revelation 5. He said, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome, and the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb." Father, we come by that blood today. Because of the shedding of innocent blood, you destroyed your own temple in Israel. You destroyed it so even the foundations were broken. You uprooted your temple, and your people were taken captive in Babylon. Father, you heard the cry of Babylon. You heard the cry of Daniel. He came to you because he knows you are merciful, and you keep covenants. You forgave the sins of the fathers, and you remembered them, and you rose up for them, and you brought down the wicked, and you released them back into their land. And you laid back again the foundations of your temple in the same place. And you gave them a new chance. Even now, Father, we have come on this foundation of your church. 2,000 years ago, you laid this foundation by your Spirit. Through the blood of your Son, you gave us the power of your Spirit. You raised up your church. You reached the world by the power of your Spirit. Father, we have come to you on this foundation. We are asking that because the foundation has been destroyed, the righteous have had no voice anymore. For if the foundation is destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Father, we have come that you will rebuild this foundation with the blood of your Son. You will open access to Zion again without hindrance. Because you are the mediator, you are the mediator, and you are still our mediator. You are the Lion of Judah. You are the Lamb of God. And today we come with this communion as a symbol of your blood is our only hope. It's all that we have before your throne today. It's all that we have that can speak for us. It's all that we have. It's the blood of the innocent. Forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. Leave us not in this condition anymore. Our prayers are bouncing off the wall. Our bodies are plagued with spirits of infirmity. Our finances are going through our pockets of holes. Once again, the world is dominating your church, in your church. Our identity has been stolen. Our children's identity has been stolen. Father, forgive us. Have mercy on us. And give us the Holy Spirit back the way it should be. Forgive our pride, oh God. Forgive. Forgive our unbelief. Forgive the shedding of innocent blood. Forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. Please let not the enemy continue to triumph over us. This is not the life you have for us, oh God. We are to be the light because of your testimonies in our lives. We are to see miracles, signs, and wonders. We are to see the dead raised again and the sick healed. We are to see your signs and wonders as evidence of those who believe you. We are to be called righteous because of your grace. Restore us. Redeem us. Restore this foundation. Redeem us. Because of your blood, Lamb of God. Restore our marriages. We have more divorce in the church than the world. Oh God, forgive us. Forgive the shedding of innocent blood. Lamb of God. Speak for us again with your blood, 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 with your blood. Deliver us from witchcraft. Deliver us from sorcery. Deliver us from new age. Deliver us from Babylon, O God. Arrange us, O God. Bring us out of the spirit of Babylon. Amen. And establish us once again. Amen. On the foundations of Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost. Do it again on this day. Holy Spirit, forgive us. We surrender to you. We surrender to you. Holy Ghost, we surrender to you. We surrender to you. Forgive us, oh God. We give you absolute control of that which belongs to you. The church is yours. Our bodies are yours. We belong to you. We can do nothing without you. Please take over once again. and do what only you can do. And glorify Jesus. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Father, we have come to Zion on this day of Pentecost. Let this be a memorial for us. Amen. I will leave this place. We know you are merciful. You have heard. You have forgiven. Because of the blood of the Lamb. We leave this place knowing we've entered a new day. Our prayers will come true. Our hopes will come true. Our dreams will come true. Our desires will come true. Your power will work again. Your glory will reveal again. When we see the prodigals come home, and we see the lost saved, and your name will be revealed to the earth, and the knowledge of your glory shall be known. Because we have received your forgiveness, you will do it again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lamb of God. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. You can pray your own personal prayers and then take it.